Shalom Ravosa, today is Wednesday, January 29th. We're going to finish up this first section of Makkah B'Patish. For the past few days, we've been building a binyan, showing that even though we have the sheet of the Ran, the Meiri, the Yireim, who all say that in order to be Makkah B'Patish, what?
It has to be completed already.
You have to have a completed item that you put a finishing touch after it's already completed. We showed, and I'd love to just run through all the Rashis if we can. I don't even remember them. We showed from a bunch of Rashis, about five different places, that Rashi consistently tells us that even if the item is not completed, even if you're completing the item with this act, that also counts as Makkah B'Patish, even though it's not finished till you do this act of Makkah B'Patish. So they hold that you have to finish the item. Makkah B'Patish is after it's a Kli Gomer, a full complete Kli. Rashi says no. Rashi says even if you're finishing the kli, that itself could be Makkah B'Patish. So, does anyone want to throw out some of the proofs from Rashi that we did over the past few days? I don't remember any of the Rashis. Glass blowing. Rashi says that you're making it into the kli. Good. Next, the bed. Rashi says you're making the bed. Exactly. What? Rashi's version of Misates is that you are squaring off the stone, yeah, making it finishing. Not the decorations after it's finished, like Tosin said. Good, so that's already three.
Window. Opening and closing the window.
I don't remember that.
The store.
Oh, yeah, the Gemara Beitza. Rashi says that... Remind me.
Hillel says that you're allowed to open it or close it, and Rashi says that it's because
if you would use pins, then it would be Makkah B'Patish, even though you're putting the fourth wall on, whatever, the sixth wall on the front. Good. What else did we have? Poter Beit Hatzava, Rashi said, right now you're making it into a shirt. I mean, that you can go two ways. Obviously, the other opinions just hold, they have the same Gemara. They just hold that it's a shirt already, and you're just putting the neck. Okay. That's at least four Gemaras. What else did we have? Anyone remember any other cases?
Was it a stone?
Yeah, that just said that Rashi says that when you square the stone, that itself is Makkah B'Patish, not just the design afterwards, but even squaring the stone.
What was the Gemara with the bed?
The bed is on the... That's Mem Zayin Amud Bet. What?
It's also on Mem Chet.
Mem Zayin Amud Bet is the Gemara with the stone, with the making the bet. No, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. I'm sorry, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph is making the Mita Shel Tarsiyim. That's the put together the bet that you put together. That was the first part of what we did. We had a bunch of Rashis, at least four. They might have been even one or two more. Then what we did yesterday was we showed fabulously that Tosfot disagrees. We showed Tosfos as Rashi Tosei. Could anyone say out how? I'll say one Tosfos, then you'll tell me the next Tosfos. Tosfos on Daf Ayin Hey says that Misates is only not when you're squaring it. The stone is already squared. It's already shaped. It's already smooth. You're just putting on the design. Okay, so.
Oh, Bone Gomor, according to Tosfos, is only on a kli that you finish.
To give honor to somebody. This is Torah Lishma. He's not in pre-smicha, he's not in college, he just loves Hashem, he loves Hashem's Torah, and Yossi Domani from Great Neck comes to learn Torah. Beautiful, very happy to have you, Yossi. So Tosa said that there's Makkah B'Patish when you, by Misates, by chiseling, after it's completely, the rock is completely ready, you're just putting on the design. And what else does Tosa say?
There is bona by kalim.
Oh, what do you mean? The Gemara says there's no bona by kalim.
There's no bona by kalim if the kli. There is bona by kalim if you're doing the whole bona.
If you Tosfos is machadish that if you build something from beginning to end, then there will be bona by kalim. And what's his proof to this? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says there's no bona by kalim. Oh, putting together the bed. But we thought putting together the bed was not bona. We thought it was
Makkah B'Patish.
Why can't Tosfos learn that it's Makkah B'Patish?
Because he holds Makkah B'Patish is only in a kli that was already done.
Tosfos must tell that Makkah B'Patish is only once the kli is already finished, and making a bed would not be Makkah B'Patish. So therefore, Makkah B'Patish must be bona But if it's bona, why is it bona? It's a kli, it's not a house, it's not a structure, it's not a shack. Must be that Tosfos has his new chiddush, that there is bona by kelim if it's from A to Z. If you bona an entire kli, a kli gamur, a full kli.
Why does it have to be bona if it's after? Shouldn't it be? Why are you relating it back to bona if it's after?
Because Tosus proves his point that there's this new form of bona that we never knew about from the same Gemara that Rashi called Makkah B'Patish.
Okay.
Obviously, Tosus couldn't call it Makkah B'Patish. Therefore, he had to call it this new form of bona. If it could be Makkah B'Patish, Tosus can't prove from that Gemara of the bed that you put together anything. He can't prove anything about bona if it's not bona, if it's Makkah B'Patish. He can only prove that it's bona because it's not Makkah B'Patish, it must be bona. But if it's bona, why are you chayev? From which he proved, after all, it's only a kli. From which Tosis proves that if you build a kli, there's a new kind of bona. If you build a kli from beginning to end, that's called.
But really, it's the same. Bona. It's still that, the same. That, after the object is finished, that's the Makkah B'Patish.
So Tosus was assuming that making the bed would not be considered Makkah B'Patish. Why would he consider it not Makkah B'Patish? Because he holds that Makkah B'Patish would only be if you
had a finished kli.
Already have a refetish made kli and you're putting a finishing touch afterwards. But the making of the kli itself would not constitute Makkah B'Patish. That's what we proved yesterday.
Rabbi, if you have a half made bed and you finish the bed.
So that can't be bona. Everyone would call that that's not bona. Finishing the bed, why can't that be finishing the bed? There are two kinds of makkah, there are numerous kinds of makkah b'patish, which we might talk about in the future, but we'll talk about it right now for 7 seconds. Makkah b'patish is making a kli, and it's also finishing a kli. Finishing a kli would also be makkah b'patish. There are different kinds. Makkah b'patish is the finishing touches. Rashi says when you make the full bed, that's makkah b'patish. But even just making part of it, even putting the finishing touches on a, I assume on a bed would also be Makkah B'Patish.
You hold like both Rashi and Tosfos?
No, it has to be one or the other. One of them is right, one of them is wrong. The Gemara says, Mita Shel Tarsim, you put together Mita Shel Tarsim, Yuchayev. There's Machloket, what Yuchayev? Are Yuchayev from Makkah B'Patish? That's what Rashi says. Or Tosfos says, Yuchayev from Bona. One of them is right, one of them has to be wrong.
But let's say if you have a half-made bed and you finish it on Shabbat.
So Tosis will hold, you did nothing wrong, because
right,
it's not bona, because not A to Z, so ain't right. B'nibakilim. It's not Makkah B'Patish, because Makkah B'Patish is only
when you
Kehle that was finished, so according to Tosis, you did nothing wrong, Deraisa. Okay. According to Rashi, you probably violate Makkah B'Patish. Good point. Okay. So that finishes the discussion of the Rishonim against Rashi, and we just threw Tosos with the other Rishonim, with the Ran and the Meiri and the Reim. I want everybody to turn back on the second source sheet. You had a Meiri. The Meiri, at the very end of the Meiri, when he wanted to prove that Makkah B'Patish must be only when you put a finishing touch after a kli is already finished. Meaning you made a kli, now that the kli was made, you can put a finishing touch on it. He did not prove it from Gemaras. He proved it from logic. Look at the last line of the Meiri. I think I might say the word Svara there, or
yeah.
Great Svara or something like that, or powerful Svara. Look at this Svara. This is source number, source sheet.
Great. What page is this?
Two.
Oh, okay.
The last line of the Meiri. Beit HaBechira LeMeiri. Beit HaBechira is in the Meiri Sefer. Nathan, you want to read that last line? What? Do you have it?
She'im lo'ikein.
Josh, go ahead.
She'im lo'ikein ab ha'malachut tefilat ha'am besofan ba'a ke'echad kegon kitzira v'kiyotze ba'a ha'ya ra'ui l'hitchayev ba'a mishu makev patish.
What does that mean? What's his question? He's proving something with this question.
That if the beginning and the end of an action of a melacha come together, how will he be chayav of Makkah B'Patish?
No.
Right.
Doug?
If you don't go by his logic, you could just say one action would be considered Makkah B'Patish.
Very good. Right. How do you want to say it?
I'm saying he gives an example of harvesting.
Right. So if I have to be right, then Makkah B'Patish is only when you finish making something, then you do something. Then you put a finishing touch, it's Makkah B'Patish. After it's already made, Makkah B'Patish comes afterwards. Because if you hold, like Rashi, then Makkah B'Patish is even during the process, during while you're making it. So whenever you have a malacha, that's a one-time malacha. The beginning and the end that happen at the same time, like Katsira. Well, Katsira, I did Katsira, and I also should be, I put for the finishing touch on the wheat, I guess. Every malach should be for Makkah B'Patish. Because you always have the finishing touch. According to me, says the Meiri, makes sense. You have to have something, you have a kli that's completely finished. I'm not saying completely finished, I mean it's a kli already. After it's a kli, you put a finishing touch on top of that, whenever you have such a scenario, it will be Makkah B'Patish. But when you have a malacha that's all together as one, meaning the beginning of the malacha and the end of the malacha happens at once, because it's a momentary malacha. It's an instantaneous malacha. You just cut down the wheat. So, that was the malacha. So there is no finishing thing. You're not doing anything after you finish the cutting down the wheat, so of course there's no Makkah B'Patish. But according to Rashi, you should be chayav and all the other malachas as Makkah B'Patish.
Doesn't the Meiri work Rashi into his logic?
What?
Didn't the Meiri work Rashi into his logic?
He worked out one specific case, the case with the stones, the quarry. So I want you to give me answers, Jeff.
For Rashi.
How will Rashi answer this question? He has a... Look at what I wrote. Look at this svara. It's a powerful svara.
Oh, but if it's a one-step object, there won't be considered Makkah B'Patish.
How will Rashi say, even if it's a one-step object, there won't be Makkah B'Patish? Go ahead. How? Why?
Because it already has a significant act to it. It's not Makkah B'Patish. It's given this more specific act called Ketira.
It's Kotzer. So ask the Meir, should we Kotzer and Makkah B'Patish?
Maybe. Once it's already given Kotzer, we're not going to give it Makkah B'Patish.
Beautiful. You're saying a Chiddush. Josh is suggesting whenever something is called, it fulfills Malacha X, is a violation of Malacha X, we will never tack on to it Makkah B'Patish as well. Makkah B'Patish will only be if it something is... No other malacha, then I could say, oh, but it's still a Makkah B'Patish. Very good. In fact, people say what you're saying. People say what you're saying. You know who says that? In the source sheets, right above the Meiri, you had the Ran. The Ran made your point. I want you to look at the words of the Ran. I think it's right above the Meiri. Look through his words and find where in the words the Ran says that if you're chayav for some other malacha, we're not going to tack on, also a Makkah B'Patish. Makkah B'Patish only exists when there's no other malacha violated, then we could say, oh, it's nothing, you didn't do any malacha, but we'll call it Makkah B'Patish. Could you find where in the Ran he says that?
Is there on page 1 or 2?
1. Page 1.
I think what it says, Ba'ive Atma'ina Medacha.
Perfect. Give everybody a minute. From Mikan Lamdu. The Ran is explaining Makkah B'Patish. He's on the. What daf is the Ran on? What daf is that, Ran?
Ayin Gimel.
What's on Ayin Gimel? What Gemara is on Ayin Gimel? What is he commenting? What? That's Ayin Hay and Beis. That's what Mendaim mean. What? That's the mission of the Malachas. So what is he doing in this paragraph? He's telling you what is Makkah B'Patish. He's no agenda. He's just telling you what the Malacha means. And as he's explaining this, what does he say? From here you learn. Mikan Lamdu Kol Davar Shvihi Ba'atzma Ein Malacha. But it itself is not a malacha, then we could, you know, then it could become a, you know, if you finish something off, it could be a gemar malacha of Makkah B'Patish. So that answers the question we had on Rashi. The Meiri's question on Rashi was what, Mr. Rashi, you say that the malacha could be even, Makkah B'Patish could be even while you're doing the malacha. So whenever you have a one-step malacha, it should be that malacha plus Makkah B'Patish. The answer is, Makkah B'Patish is only set into play when it's nothing else.
Right. I think maybe part of the confusion would be the understanding what malacha means, because malacha could mean an av malacha. Malacha could also mean some action.
Here it means the av malacha, right? Something you have to see from context.
What about a derabanan? So if it's like a derabanan of kotzer, and then
I don't know the answer.
Because I'm saying if like some kotzer, malacha sheinu l'sivra gufa,
right?
That could be maybe a derabanan.
If you're right. So from the Torah's perspective, that's a good point. I don't know what to say about that. That's a very good point. Yosef Delmani, wow, incredible. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. You know where else we see this idea that Maka Bepadish?
Oh, did we have that question by pruning?
Remind me.
I don't know. It was rather long. When you cut off branches from a tree.
Right, you prune a tree, right?
It could be a Totoda of Zoraya.
Totoda Zoraya, fine. And it's also harvesting. He's talking about Maariv Kavadish, or I know what you're talking about. We'll see that. We'll see that soon. We'll get there. I think I know what you're referring to. I want to show you something else. Everybody, open up your Gemaras to Daf Ayin Hayam and Beis, a Gemara that you've seen at least two, if not three, times already.
In Bet.
Ayin Hayam and Bet. For the rest of you, Ayin Hayam and Beis. This was, again, there are like 15 Gemaras that talk about Maka B'Patish. They don't all say the word Maka B'Patish, but this Gemara has like four cases of Maka B'Patish and one little Gemara. And if you look at the 40% down, right below, by the tiny Aleph, there's a little Aleph in the, about 40% down of the page.
Shiratut?
None of mine. But Reb Shimon ben Kisma Omar. First one line is Kisma. Reb Shimon ben Kisma Omar. First one line is Kisma. About 40% down? 45% of the way down? Reb Shimon ben Kisma Omar. Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Omar Reb Shimon ben Kisma. Omar Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Everyone who sees, I have it by a tiny Zion. Hatzar Tzura Bekli. Vahamanapeh Bekli Zechuchit. Chai Mishamaka Bepatish. What was the first one?
Drawing a design on a kli.
Blow the glass.
The second one is blowing the glass. First is drawing a design on a kli. My friends, are you allowed to draw a design on a kli?
No.
Are you allowed to draw on Shabbos?
No.
That's different than kosev.
Well, let's see. If you draw Jesse with bubble letters, that's kosev, right?
Yeah.
If you draw a picture of an apple, is that kosev?
No.
Is it Savaya?
Yeah, coloring.
You would be coloring.
Are you allowed to draw pictures on Shabbos?
No.
If you ask my kids, they call each other Shabbos guy. When the little baby or the little kids start drawing on Shabbos with the crayons, they call each other Shabbos guy. So according to my children.
So maybe it's a derabanan of.
Maybe it's derabanan.
Yeah.
So, if you look at Rabbeinu Hananel. In my Gemara, it's the towards the bottom of this page on the I have it in the second fat line. If you add the old, I don't know if we have the same print. It starts vi'i hahi tzura itba otiot. I don't know if we have the same on the bottom of the page. There's Rabbi Nachman. I think you have the same one as I, Yaniv. In the second middle line. Yeah, you have the same. In the second middle line. In the second of those fat lines, the second line, the fifth word. Vi'i hahi tzura. The people with the new Gemaras might not have the same.
Vi'i hahi tzura?
Yeah.
How far is it into the Rabbi Nachman?
Towards the bottom of the page.
That's the sixth word on the second line.
He has a different edition.
Oh, okay.
Here. Josh?
Here, it's there already. I haven't seen this. Oh, okay,
fine. Hey, what's it called?
V'i hahi tzura. And if that shape, we just, the Gemara said that if you draw a design on a kli, that's makabe patish, which fits very well into all the Rishonim, right? You have a finished kli, and then you do something on top of that. So it fits well. But look what Rabbi Yochanan adds. V'iha hitzura, if that design, it ba, there is in it, otiot demikru, letters that are readable. Oh, that's going to be our question. What's this issue going to be? This is going to be a question where you have a design that's kosei, but it's also makabe patish. So what are we going to do with that situation? Let's see what the Rabbi Yochanan says. V'iha hitzura it ba otiot demikru. It has letters that are readable. Chayev mishum
kosei.
What would you have said? What would you have said?
It's kosei. I would say it's kosei.
I would. What would you have said? I wouldn't have said that either. What would you have said?
So if drawing, so they aren't writing.
So what should you be chayev for? Wrong. I mean, you're right. That's what he says. But what would I have said?
What do you mean?
Wrong.
Hold on.
I could be wrong. You said both possibilities.
You said both?
Thank you, Jesse. Right. I would have said, you chai for both. You chai for makabe patish and kosei, right? Yes. You wrote letters and you did makabe patish.
But I thought you could only be.
What does he not? Exactly. That's what, where do you see that from? This is Rabbi
Yochanan. No, you see that from someone else. From
the Ran.
Yeah, but the Ran gets it.
The Ran is the Ran.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got it from one each other, but you see it in the Ran. We proved it from the Ran. And now I'm proving it to you from a second source, from Rabbi Yochanan. This is the meaning. These are the Rishonim. This is the source for the halachas that we're suggesting. I'm showing to you that Rabbi Yochanan must be assuming the fact that he's talking about drawing a picture, which the Gemara says is makabe patish, and he says, but if there are letters, you're chayav for bona, and not both.
Bona.
You see, I mean kosev, and not both. You see that he holds, and you're not going to be chayav for makabe patish if there's a possibility of being chayav for kosev.
So which one would you be?
So he said, he says. So again, viha hitzura it ba otiot mikru. If that tzura on the kli has readable letters di that mikru could be read, readable, legible. Chayim mishum kotev. You're only chayim for kotev. That's the answer to your question, Yenny.
So if we
vilav, but if the letters are not legible, if there are no legible letters, or there are no letters at all, chayim mishum makabe patish. Period.
Unless we can't find any other malacha to tag you on, we tag you on makabe.
Right. Does anyone want to say that in a clearer way? The inverse of what you just said, or the converse of what you just said? The opposite.
You're always going to be.
You're right, but I don't like the way you said it. If something's a malacha, it is only that malacha.
Unless.
However, if it's not any other malacha, and it's the finishing touch, then we could tag on makabe patish. So you can never have makabe patish plus.
Makes it a malacha grua.
So what was the Meir?
Does everything take place?
Sorry, what did you say?
It's so broad that it's not like sectioned into one.
You're right. That was what we said in the first day of Shir, that Bona and makabe patish are unique in that there's no action that the Torah is prohibiting. By everything, most of the other malachas, there's a prescribed action that the Torah prohibits. Bona is anything. That's why it's called dehu, in a sense. Makabe patish, that's where they group together, maybe. They're just any action that constitutes a finishing thing. We've seen such a range. Here's designing something on a clay. Before, with blowing a glass tube, blowing a tube into the glass. The other then there's pulling out the thorns from a fabric.
Attaching
these are totally attached. What?
Attaching a shovel.
Attach, putting a shovel together, according to one opinion, right? So these are all different, so different, yet they're all makabe patish. So let's come back together. We started off with the Meiri. The Meiri wanted to prove his point. What was the point the Meiri wanted to show? You have to agree with me. You have to agree to me that makabe patish is only after you finish making a kli, then you do makabe patish. Because if makabe patish could be part of the malacha, like Rashi holds, then kotzer should also be makabe patish. And how are we going to answer that Meiri's question? If it's kotzer, you can't be makabe patish. You're right, theoretically kotzer might also be makabe patish. But if it's kotzer, it can't be makabe patish. Whenever you're chayav for a malacha, we cannot apply another. We cannot tag on makabe patish.
That's kind of like, in a way, that could be like a defense of Rashi, correct?
That's exactly my goal.
But
I just answered the Meiri's question and thereby defended Rashi.
Yeah, but the problem is reading just this Gemara, it seems to fit in easier with the Ran and Tosfos' Shita than it does for Rashi. Because if it would for Rashi, then you then the malacha is already done of making the kli. Therefore, you should. Therefore, So this is a defense of Rashi because you're chayav makapachish and you're not chayav kose ksiva. You're not chayav kose.
Yeah. No. Wait, Jesse.
Can you read this line in the Gemara, and it fits fairly well with either Rashi or the Rashi.
It better. You know why? Who came first, the Gemara or the Rishonim?
Gemara.
That is excellent, Jesse. That's why both of them are going to have to fit into the Gemara, right?
Yeah, but...
And,
but
Jesse.
My agenda...
I'll tell you, give me one more, 12 yeah. more seconds.
Yeah.
There are some Gemaras that just is Chayev. Like Mita Shel Tarsin that we had yesterday, the bed that you make, just right. So they were Chayev. And you know what we found? We had a Machloket.
Right.
Rashi said it's chai for Makapatish, and those who argue on him, Tosud explicitly, and I suggested yesterday that also the Meiri, the Ran, the Yireim will have to say it's Mishum Bona, not Makapatish.
Right. Yeah.
But here the Gemara says explicitly that it's Makapatish, right?
Yeah, I mean,
this
is
explicit.
So all the
Rishonim have to fit with it.
That's true, but the underlying agenda is how can you make all the Rishonim's Deya fit with each example that the Gemara gives, or is it possible that one school of thought actually fits the Gemara better than another school, and that's what we're trying to find out.
You're right. The problem is that we're going to have to. You're right. We have to fit the Rishonim to see which reads best in the Gemaras. The problem is there are 15 Gemaras to do that with, and you're not going to be able. You're going to have to fit into every single one. So every Rishon is going to have to fit into every single Gemara, and that's going to be a challenge. There are obviously going to be some Gemaras that are going to be a little bit more sounding like one. Other Gemaras will sound a little bit more like the other. And when there's a Gemara that sounds like you, I'm going to have to explain it like with a twist. When there's a Gemara that sounds like me, you're going to have to explain it with a twist.
So then it's the job of let's say, Poskim to accumulate all the evidence and to determine which
the Rishonim one. Already did. That's what the Rishonim did. The Rishonim went to those 15 Gemaras, and they, as we saw, the Ran and the Meiri, knew all the Gemaras, and based on their knowledge of the Gemaras, they felt that Makapatish is only going to be after you finish the Kli. And every Gemara that sounds like you're...
can be explained in that way.
Any Gemara that sounds like it's against them, they're going to have some other way to explain
it.
Case in point, Mishta Shel Tarsiyim. There's a Gemara that says that you're Chayev, even while you're making the bed. That doesn't fit in with the Ran and the Meiri. Who say that you're only going to do Chayev for Makapatish after you finish. After the Kli is made, then you do a Makapatish. So how do they answer it? They answer it by saying, oh, it must not be Makapatish at all. It's Bona.
So whoever has to stretch it more has the worse.
That is correct. But sometimes when you have 15 Gemaras and three Gemaras are stretched, there are different Gemaras and some Gemaras are going to sound more like one or the other. Let's say there are 15 Gemaras. Okay. And you have an explanation that fits great into 12 but three are a little weak. Here's an explanation that fits great into 9, but 6 are a little weak. So,
the one depends. That has 3 weak or...
Yeah, but it also depends on how weak. Is it really weak? Is it a little weak? So it's a little flick. That's where we have machlokasim from. All the Rishonim are fitting into all the Gemaras.
Right.
They knew all the Gemaras. And whenever there's a Gemara that seems like it doesn't work, then they're going to have some other way to explain it, like we showed by Mita Shel Tarsiyim. Okay. Now...
But if it ends up working out for both Rishonim, then how do we know who's right and who's wrong?
Then, what we do is the Sephardi thing. If you have a Machlokas Rishonim, and we can't figure out from just one has greater better arguments or more Gemaras that sound like them, just they all. Then we just have to look at the majority of the Rishonim.
Oh.
The majority of the Rishonim say this, so that's going to be the Psak. Or the majority of the Sephardi Rishonim say this, so the Sephardis will do that. That's what the Shulchan Aruch did. Shulchan Aruch said there are three main poskim. There's the Rambam, there's the Rush, and there's the Rif. Those are the three main poskim, and it'll take 2 out of 3. Ashkenazim say, no, I don't want to pick those poskim. I'm going to pick the Rambam, the Rush, and Tosos or something. And leave out the Rif, who's also Sephardi. That's why Ashkenazi Psak is a little bit different, because they're using a different 2 out of 3 than the Shulchan Aruch, which is Sephardi. Okay. Look at the Meiri. There's another question that we're going to have to answer. Oh, I have another answer, by the way. I have another. Again, the question was, why doesn't one step malacha is, why isn't it kotzer and makabe patish? My answer, without, not based on the Rabbi Hanan or the other diuk that we have in Rishonim, is that whenever you have a malacha that's instantaneous, like harvesting, the concept of makabe patish doesn't apply. What's the concept of makabe patish?
A final
blow, a finishing touch.
But that's the only blow.
That, if it's the only blow, yeah. What are you talking about, Makkah? What are you talking about, the final blow, the finishing touch, the Gemar Malacha? If it's a momentary Malacha, there's no Tchila, there's no Gemar, it's just... You're right, the Tchila is the Gemar. That was the words that the Meiri said. The Tchila, where the Tchila of itself, Abam Ke'achad, it should also be Makkah of Hadish. I mean, my own feeling is that, I would say, without any Rishon, my own thought, is that only by elongated processes... So you have the possibility of the final thing being Makkah Patish. Let's think back to the Mishkan. Where did we have Makkah Patish in the Mishkan? Trick question. Where did we have, I'm asking a trick question. That's a Tolda. Where do we have the Av Malacha of Makkah Patish in the Mishkan?
Cutting off the chisel.
I was hoping you would say that. That's why it's a trick question. Yeah. It can't be that. Why not? Why can't it be knocking off the stone from the quarry?
Because it's not the Mishkan, it's not done in the Mishkan.
Because they didn't have any stone buildings in the Mishkan. Correct. Who points that out, Jesse? Tosus asks that. I don't know if we did it yet, but that's the second Tosus on the page. Tosus says, Mr. Rashi, how could you be giving an example of Makkah Patish in this Mishnah of knocking a stone off a quarry? There's no quarrying and there's no stone buildings in the Mishkan.
But how's that a question on Rashi?
Why is Rashi explaining Makkah Patish in a way with... He's saying this is the paradigm of Makkah Patish. And he gives you a case that wasn't even in the Mishkan.
That...
Oh, if you, let's look at Tosis together. Because Tosis is going to tell us what was in the Mishkan.
What?
Oh. Second Tosis. Kuf Bet Amud Bet. In my Gemara, it's also on Kuf Bez Amud Bez. Makkah Patish, Yaniv. Take the second Tosis.
Perish
Bekuntris.
Perish Bekuntris.
Rashi is called the Kuntris. What's a Kuntris?
A booklet.
A booklet. Why is Rashi called a booklet?
It's a useless book. That's how it used to be printed.
Yeah, go ahead.
Shepasuz.
Shemifotzates. What's Mifotzates?
Bow.
You explode, you bang out, you. What's a good word for Mifotzates? Explode. You have a good word?
Yeah.
That's Mephotzes. Shemephotzes, but Hassel, yeah, go ahead.
Et Hassela, Lachar Shechatzava.
Period. What's Lachar Shechatzava?
After the. I don't know.
You hew it?
After the quarry.
Yeah, after you quarry it, after you hew it. It's a good word. Do you know what the word hew is? H-E-W?
H-E-W.
It means to cut stone. A good, very good word.
You cut off a little bit and then you put in the explosives and then...
Well, they didn't have explosives in time, Rashi, but they had a big
that's
hammer.
That's
hew? Hew is to cut stone.
Okay.
After you quarry it. Chatz, I would have said quarry it. After you quarry it, that's what Rashi said. Comes Tosis and says... I don't like you, Rashi. That doesn't appear to the Ri. Why? Question mark.
Yeah.
The Mishkan didn't have binyan avanim. So why are you giving me an example of what Makkah Patish is from a case that wasn't even in the Mishkan? Now, I'll read the next line because this is hard. The Tana would never have left behind a Gemar Malacha that was in the Mishkan to tell you something that was not in the Mishkan. Why would the Tana talk about something that wasn't in the Mishkan when he could be talking about something that was in the Mishkan? Velo Shavik, he would not leave behind. Shavik means leave behind, omit. Tana, our Tana, a Gemara Malacha de Kalim. He wouldn't omit, meaning rather, this is the right shot of our Mishnah. Makkah Patish should be the Gemara Malacha of Kalim to have a B'mishkan. He wouldn't omit the finishing off, the putting the finishing touches of the Kalim that were in the Mishkan, Vinakat, and rather use Makkah Patish to Evan to lo have a B'mishkan. He's not going to omit the one that was in the Mishkan, finishing off the Kalim, and talk about Evan, which was not in the Mishkan. He wouldn't do such a foolish thing. Ela nira the ri, the high makkah b'patish. This makkah b'patish of our Mishnah, hainu that is makosh, the bang, the hit. Acharon, that what? Shemakeh al hakli, bishat gemar malacha. What kelim were in the mikdash? They had bowls, they had cups, menorahs maybe. And as they're evening, I'm assuming all the metal kelim.
In the Mishkan?
In the Mishkan.
Wasn't the Mishkan itself a clay?
It was a binyan. We learned boner from the Mishkan.
Yeah.
So it was a...
But it wasn't attached to the ground.
We actually...
That is correct. That is correct. Except there were stakes that were driven into the ground to hold up the curtains, but fine.
We actually...
There's still structure sitting on it. But what is Makom HaPatish according to Tosfos? What is Makom HaPatish according to Tosfos? The last hammer, when you put the finishing touch on a kli.
It still has to be a kli.
Last hammer.
Right.
So, if we'll say that...
If this is Makom HaPatish... What?
Shouldn't it only apply to kli's and not to other things?
Makom HaPatish Daraita only applies to kli's.
Yeah. Well, it applies, might apply to a house also.
I thought it was in Makom HaPatish.
In Binyan Bekanon.
Yeah.
Okay. In Binyan Bekanon. I don't know. I mean, the paradigm that was in the Mishkan was Makom HaPatish and Kelim. That's what Tosfos says. To finish up a metal kli, you give that last bang to make it, I guess, even some other Rishonim talk about, you have a kli that has a little bump, a little dent, you bang it out or bang it in to make it the right shape. That's Makom HaPatish. Let's just think about this Makom HaPatish. Is this an instantaneous act?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. The Makom HaPatish is. Is this process... That you, this project that you were working on, an instantaneous project?
No.
It was a long, elongated project. It was a process. And the last step of that process is Makom HaPatish. So what was the question that the Meiri asked on Rashi? According to you, Rashi, that Makom HaPatish doesn't have to be on a finished kli. It could even be part of making the kli. They asked the Meiri, every melacha where tchilasa v'safa b'ayin ke'achad, like tzira, should be the melacha plus Makom HaPatish. And that we never heard such a thing. And says Uri, no. Makom HaPatish only applies when you have a process, and it's the last point, call it the point after the process is over, call it the last part of the process. I don't care about that, but it's not going to be on a instantaneous malacha, like Kotzer, where it's just one moment is the beginning of malacha, the end of malacha, the whole malacha. That's not subject to Makom HaPatish. Makom HaPatish in the Mishkan, well, there was a process, there was a thing that I made, which took a while, and then the last point. Okay, so we could argue about, is it the last part of making the kli, or the after I made the kli, a bang after I made the kli? That we could argue about. But it's only when there's a process, when you made something as part of a process.
Or you put a bang in something that had a process.
Exactly. You put a bang that had a process, that's fine. But the Meiri's case, where you just did ktsira, that should also be Makom HaPatish. Come on, it's not the finishing... Makom HaPatish is you've put the finishing touch on
this
something that you were working on.
This is very problematic with YU's like decision to not have to open up the bottles before Shabbos, because you could understand opening up soda bottles both according to Rashi and Tosfos.
We are going to spend so much time opening the soda bottles, you're going to have soda coming out of your nose, Jesse.
Okay.
That's going to be, within the next 3 days of class, we'll hopefully talk about soda bottles. Uh-huh. I'll give you lots to read for that.
Can you
just
explain one more time?
No, because there's no such thing. Ain binyan bekelim.
What does that?
Like, ain binyan bekelim means the Gemara says in numerous places that the melacha of bona applies only to structures that are on or attached to the ground. But anything that's a utensil, it's not a dwelling, a shelter, a house, a building. There's nothing to do with Makom HaPatish. That's a line that talks about.
So
bona.
Then why does it? Then why am I so confused?
Because you weren't here yesterday when we talked about the Mita Shel Tarsi, where Toso drew a proof from something, and he learned it as Bona, where Rashi learned it as Makom HaPatish. Toso, there was a case that we did yesterday that talked about building a bed. If you have a bed that you buy from IKEA, you put it together. Rashi called that Makom HaPatish. Mm-hmm. He made it clean. Toso, for some reason, says that that's called...
Okay.
Bona. So why didn't he say that's Makom HaPatish?
Because Makom HaPatish is only after...
Tosfos must hold, we see from this Tosfos must hold, that Makom HaPatish will only be after you finish making the clean, then you do the hit. Ah, so Tosfos didn't say that. Tosfos didn't say that it's Makom HaPatish, because there's no after, it's just making the clean itself. So he holds that that would be Bona. We had a problem, what do you mean? How could it be Bona if there's Ein Binyan Bekelim? There's no such thing. The melacha of bona does not apply to furniture. to tools, to utensils. It only applies to buildings.
Okay, so now
so Tosfos made this chiddush that when you make a tool from beginning to end, from 0 to 100, that will constitute binyan, even though it's a kli. Even though generally ain't binyan b'kelim, but when you do it from A to Z, it will be binyan b'kelim. Okay. So we just had a second. So now we have two answers to Meiri's question. First answer was that there's no such thing as violating malacha X plus makom patish. Because whatever something is X, then it's just X. Makom patish is only applied when it's not of any other malacha. Uri Orlean's answer was that makom, like we see from the paradigm of the Mishkan, makom patish is only after a process, after an elongated process. But Ketzira, or wherever you have a malacha that happens instantaneously, we can't talk about the finishing blow if there's no finishing of an elongated process. Fine. Next point. Gentlemen, look back at the Meiri, please. Look back at the Meiri. And he had another question on Rashi. At the beginning of the Meiri, very beginning of the Meiri. I'll give you 30 seconds to look at the beginning of the Meiri and see if we could answer his question. Where he talks about Rai finishing up a Sefer Torah. You have the Meiri? You need the Meiri? Here. Who wants to read this beginning of the Meiri? Jesse, you want to read it? Do you see this Meiri, Jesse? Nate, you have it? Im katav ot achat.
Afalpi.
Im katav ot achat v'heshlim bo sefer. Is that not at the very beginning? I don't know where the very beginning is.
No. Komakom. Im katav ot achat v'heshlim bo sefer. O erek chut echad v'heshlim bo beged chayev. Shekol hashlim bo chashuvahi kishtayim v'chayev mishum kosev.
What is that?
That if you... nevertheless, if you write one thing and you complete one little letter, I guess, and you complete a book.
Like a Sefer Torah. Right, the last Lama. Kol Yisrael. And you wrote the Lama, the last to finish the Sefer Torah.
Yeah.
Even though really to be Chai for Kosev, how many letters do you have to write?
Two.
But here you only did one, but it was a significant one.
What's the Ereg?
Arag chut echad, you wove.
Wove one string, you completed a coat or something, a garment. Mm-hmm. You're chayev, even though he doesn't say what exactly for, because anything that you do to complete something is significant, and it's like...
No, it doesn't say significant. Chashuvahi, it is considered...
Like two.
Meaning, normally one letter is one letter and two letters are two letters. But one letter that completes the Sefer Torah, it did two things. It was a lamed, and it also finished the book. It's like two letters. If you have one string on the bottom of the shirt, so it's one string, but it also finished the shirt, so it's like two strings.
When he
so
says,
therefore,
v'chai mishum kotev, he's also referring to...
He's only talking about the book.
Chut,
and then he omits, but he means, and he'll be chayev for sewing... Okay. Even though you need two strings
so that's
to fire
yourself. The Ereg B'chud is parenthetical. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Chayav because of Kotev.
Fine. That's not our point. The next line is our point. Based on that, I have the following
this
question.
This concept, where does it come from?
Oh, that's the next mission. Two missions from now. It's going to say, HaKotev on Kuf Gimel Amar Aleph. Everyone look on Kuf Gimel Amar Aleph. You don't even have to turn any pages. Kuf Gimel Amar Aleph, the second Mishnah. HaKotev. How much do you have to write to be chayav? Shtei otiyot. Whether it's your right hand, your left, whatever. You have to write two otiyot.
What is
mishtei
mishem echad
v'mishtei
shnei?
Well, that we'll get to in... Look at the first mishnah, the next parak. Parak ha'oreg. On daf kuf hei amar aleph. It's going to be a little bit complicated because we're not learning this, but Yaniv, you want to read the first line of Kuf Hei Amar Aleph?
Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ha'oreg Shlosha Chukim Ba'chila Ve'achat Al Ha'arig Chayav.
What does that mean? Do you know what that means?
Ha'oreg is the... isn't that when you remove something?
No, oreg is weave. When you weave three threads, betchila. I mean, if you didn't have if you didn't already have a garment,
okay.
Or if you already have a garment and you're just weaving on top of that, ba'achat al ha'arig, or one thread that you add to something that's already woven, yechayev. But that's Rabbi Eliezer. I don't care about him. I want to know Chacham. What are Chacham saying?
Ben betchila, ben basof, shiro, two chutin.
Period.
Two chutin.
What does Chacham say?
Between the batchi, between
not
the,
between, but
ben betchila.
Ben this, ben that. Ben this, ben that. Whether it's this
the
or it's that.
Garment or at the end of the shiro, the end of the making.
Whether it's in the beginning, meaning you didn't have a garment here, or whether it's besof, or whether it's at the end, and you already had a garment, comma. What's the shiur of violating the malacha? What's the minimum necessary amount of weaving that you have to do to violate weaving?
Shtei
chutin. That's what we're talking about.
No,
so
yeah,
here we have the Mishnah of...
No, wait, it says... Sheishlim bal chashuva hi
keshtayim. Oh, that's a Gemara. So I don't know.
No.
I don't know if it's a Gemara.
It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara.
I don't know.
It doesn't make it up, right?
I don't know.
But
we'll hopefully learn it. So, at least we'll see. Okay, so who is reading the Meiri?
Yeah, okay, I have a question about the Meiri that we're just reading, though. So, finish writing the last letter of the Sefer Torah, right? So, according to Meiri, that's writing, the Malacha is writing. According to Rashi, would that be Makkah Bepatish?
Hold on a second. Okay. Read the next line.
Rashi?
Okay. Whoever was reading this.
Jesse.
Okay. V'chach mechadorot sho'olim ba, v'hugan...
Kahogan. Kahogan means appropriately.
Like they ought to.
Right.
V'chayim gadol...
That's just a proof. What's right. His question?
V'kamosha amru. That shouldn't this be... Under the rubric of Makom HaPatish, on the chi of Makom HaPatish, as opposed to...
When you finish a Sefer...
That is Makom HaPatish.
Should that be Makom... Why? You're just saying it's Kosei. Should it be Makom HaPatish? When you finish a garment with one string, very nice, you're going to say, oh, even since it's only one string, but since you finish the garment, that makes it weaving. Mm-hmm. But shouldn't it also be Makom HaPatish, question mark?
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys going to answer to that question? Josh, you hear the question? Question is, why is finishing a Sefer Torah just kosev? Why is finishing a garment just weaving?
Because it's not usable.
Let it also be Makkah B'Patish.
We have an answer.
Only be one.
Yeah?
Then you could only be Chayav for.
Exactly. Exactly.
So Rashi, we have our answer for Rashi.
But how we have an answer for Rashi. Yeah, this was a kasha on Rashi.
Yeah,
this was a kasha. Why is this a kasha on Rashi? Because Rashi said that if something is... the question, the kasha is, according to Rashi, the last part of making something is Makkah B'Patish, right? And if that's true, then let it be, you should be chayev, why are we saying it's only kosev or just oreg? It should be a kosev plus Makkah B'Patish, oreg plus Makkah B'Patish. According to the Meiri, is this a question?
No.
Why not?
Because the Sefer Torah is invalid with that. You're
exactly. When would Makkah B'Patish be? After you have a fully written Sefer Torah, you want to...
Make it nicer.
Make it nicer. Make a design. Put on the handles or something. That'll be Makkah B'Patish. So this is not a, that's what he's asking the question, because it's a kasha on Rashi. We have beautiful answers for Rashi. The answer to the question is, why aren't you also chai for Makkah B'Patish? Why only kosev or oreg? The answer is because you could only
be chai for one.
Be chai. If you're chai for any malacha, we're not going to tag on to that Makkah B'Patish as well. So we had...
That's not the answer that Miri gives.
That's right. The answer that he gives is his position.
Right.
But Rashi doesn't hold from his position. So I want to know what would Rashi answer his question. His question is a good question. You have to answer the questions. So he gives a question, an answer, and his answer is that in order to be chai from Makkah B'Patish, you have to have a finished item and then do something.
Where does Rashi say that? Does he ever say that?
He can't answer
that. No,
someone that comes after, right?
This point that we're making?
Yeah.
I don't know of a Rashi that says it, but we're gonna. It must be that Rashi must be assuming that way, because how else? I mean, you can have another answer.
There's another answer.
Yeah.
Is the Rabbi Orlean answer?
The Rabbi Orlean answer. That answer this question. What was Rabbi Orlean's answer?
No,
because these things aren't processes.
Okay.
Rabbi Orlean's answer answered the question about the kotzer. That's instantaneous. So I said he can't say it's a finishing touch if something was instantaneous. Here you're talking about writing a Sefer Torah that took you 11 months.
Yeah.
You could say it should be the last letter should be a finishing touch. So orally an answer doesn't work.
Yeah.
First, the other answer we said is going to work. I'm going to show you something that was very hard to read, but I'll first tell you a story about him. The Or Sameach that you had on the Maror Mekubeshi number 2, I think, the end of Maror Mekubeshi number 2?
Yeah.
That's one. Maror Mekubeshi number 2. Do I have the number 3 also? Yeah, it's also on Or Sameach on the bottom of Maror Mekubeshi number 3. Maror Mekubeshi number 3 on page 1 or the end of Maror Mekubeshi number 2. The Or Sameach is a commentary on the Rambam. But the question that we just asked was answered by the Chazon Yechezkel. Chazon Yechezkel was written by Reb Chatzkel Abramowitz. Reb Chatzkel Abramowitz was the Gadol of England in the time of World War II. He was the Gadol Hador of England in the time of World War II. The story goes as follows. He was once subpoenaed to English court, to court in England, and the judge wants, you know, like sometimes happens when you have an expert witness, I guess there's something that related to a Jew or a Jewish issue, and the judge, as happens in court, when you have an expert witness, you want to confirm that this person is the expert in the field. And the judge says to Chasko Abramowitz, I understand that you are the preeminent legal authority of Judaism in the world, in England. And Chasko Abramowitz says, yes, Your Honor, that is correct. And the judge smirks and says, that's a little arrogant. Or, that's interesting, doesn't your religion, you know, frown on arrogant? And answer to Chasko Abramowitz, Your Honor, I am under oath. Is that a great story?
That's a good response.
Is that a great story? Yeah. I thought that's a great story. Anyway, so Chasko Abramowitz said the following. He has another terence. There's an Or Sameach, which is very hard to read. And the Or Sameach is talking about something else. The Or Sameach is a commentator of the Rambam. Let me tell you the idea that he says outside, and then we'll try to read it inside. It's a little bit hard. Let's say I have an action, one action. This action, simultaneously, and Josh, this is what you were referring to when you got confused about what you were talking about a few minutes ago. This is what you were talking about. Simultaneously, this one action that I do is an Av Malacha of X, and also a Tolda of Y.
Yeah.
Let's say pruning a tree. When you prune a tree, on one hand, you're cutting down the branches, which is like kotzer, which is like harvesting. On the other hand, why do you prune a tree?
To make it grow.
To make it grow better. It's Zareya.
This is a Tolda of
Zareya. I don't know which is the which. But let's say it's an Av of one and a Tolda of the other. So how can we look at it? Maybe we could say that you have to bring two Kamen Chatzeses. Because we remembered from last semester, the first day of last semester, first week, if you do two different malachas, if you do an av from here and a tolda from a different one, that's two different malachas, separate avos. You're going to be a Karban Chatzes for this av malacha that you violated, and a separate Karban Chatzes for the other malacha that you violated. But what happens if it wasn't two toldas or two avos? It was one action which was simultaneously an av of this and a tolda of that. So says the Or Sameach, and explaining whatever Rambam that he says, let's look at it inside, please. Or Sameach, l'fima shekasavti. Everyone look at the Or Sameach, because it's a little hard to read. But once we read it, it's only one line. L'fima shekasavti, according to that which I wrote, ba'orach, at length, la'el, early in Perek Zion, we don't need that, deheicha. What's deheicha?
That here.
No?
Where?
That's dehacha.
That there. Where?
No, that's Hassan.
How?
Yaniv? What's Hecha?
Hecha is where?
I want to say, because just from context, it's like any time.
Yes, that where? Yeah. Any place, any time, correct, Yaniv? Here, it literally means that Hecha is where? Thank you, Yossi. The Hecha, that where? Pu'ula achas. That one action. Yeshla yachas. It has a relationship. Limalacha. Dilit chayiv mishum av. It has a relationship to a malacha that it could be chayiv for as an av for that malacha. The yachas le malacha, and it also has a relation, a connection to a malacha. De'ena, that it wouldn't be ki'im, chaf aleph, ki'im, nothing more than a tolda. So that's my situation. I have a situation that I will be, I have a certain act that has a relationship to do different things. To one malacha, it constitutes the av. In the other av malacha, it constitutes only a tolda. Meschayev mishum av, v'lo mishum tolda. You're meschayev you're going to be chayiv only for the av and not for the toldo. Let's stop here. Rechaskel Brahmans used this or sameach and kind of explain whatever Rambam to answer our question. Our question, the Iri's question was, I have a Sefer Torah that I'm finishing. I write one letter. We say that that's kosev. The Miri said, let it also be makav epatish.
That would be a told of makav epatish.
Well, let's see. When you write a letter, and I guess finish a book thereby, that's considered an out. You wrote. That's right. You wrote a letter. That's writing. Of course, that's an out. You wrote a letter.
You wrote
that's
one letter.
Right. But apparently, when you write one letter at the end of a Sefer, it's considered
two.
It's considered two, right. But the act that you did was an act of libel. What? I don't know. I never learned it. It's probably a Gemara that we'll learn at the end of this parak. We'll probably learn it when we learn about Kosev.
Av Kosev and a
told of Makav. So it's Av Kosev. What was a Makav Patish in the Mishkan? Writing and making a design with a pen on the side of a...
Kli.
No. It was hammering. That chiseling is a told of. It was whatever hammering they did in the Mishnah. That last hammer blow, that was to even out the metal on the tin, on the silver bowl, the gold bowl. So therefore, it's a tolda. According to this Yesod, he says, when you have one act that, yes, it's an av of this, but it's also under a different category, but there it's connected only to a tolda. So what are you going to be chaya for? Only for the av.
Even if you had the kavana to do the, because you were doing it for...
What do you mean? What's your kavana? Your kavana is to write. Or to finish, I don't know, it's to both. You want to write a letter which will finish your kli.
Okay, but let's say if you're doing it, let's see, for pruning, you're doing it to not... To
oh, meaning if you're... Oh, I don't know the answer. We'll have to learn pruning. I don't know if we will, but we'll have to. So this is not what I said before. Before I was telling you that makav epatish is different than all the other malachas in the Torah. Why? All the other malachas, we start with all the malachas. Is it malacha number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until 37? Or 39. And then what's the 38th malacha? Makav epatish. So we figure out, is this an action, a malacha of any of the avos malachas? If it's in a malacha, then we're not going to tag on makav epatish. When do we tag in makav epatish? If it doesn't constitute any of the other malachas, then we could say, yechayim for makav epatish. That's what I answered to you before, 10 minutes ago, based on our Rabbeinu Chananel about making the picture in the kli. And based on the words of the Ran that we had last week, that you, it's a malacha bifnei, it's only when it's malacha by itself, it's not other than the other malacha. But here, this Or Sameach is not saying that makav epatish is unique, is different than any of the other malachas. This Or Sameach, or the way that Chazon Yechezkel is applying the Or Sameach to answer our question, is saying that we have a general rule in all of the 39 malachas. So whenever you have an action that falls under the av of one and the told of another, we will consider it, we will make you chayiv only for the av that you violated. So that also answers the Meiri's question. The question was, when you do the sewing of that last line, that last thing that made it a shirt, you did that writing of the last letter of the Sefer Torah. The Meiri said, why is it only Kosefer Orek? Shouldn't it also be Makav Epatish? The answer is, according to this answer, My answer was half an hour ago, that Makav Patish is different. Whenever you have a different malacha that you're chayav on, we will not even apply Makav Patish. This answer is saying something very different. We have a rule of all the 39 malachas that if you do one act, that could be two things. It's an av of one malacha and a told of the other malacha. We're only going to make you chayav on the
av.
Therefore, let's finish 30 seconds. So here is the av. You are doing an act of writing a letter. So, no, it's not an av makav patish. What was the av makav patish? The av makav patish was evening out the metal, the bent metal on a kli. And the tolda of that is all the other makav patishes that we're familiar with, like, for example, putting a design, penciling a design on the side, drawing a design on the side of a kli. Some ceramic mug that says, I love grandpa. So that is another answer to the questions of the Or Sameach. So we basically finished this whole section of the Rishonim against Rashi. Tosis holds like the Rishonim. We had the two questions that the Meiri had, that based on which he proved his point. We answered those questions. and we're just about finished. There's one thing that we have to think about. There's one thing that we have to think about before we say goodbye to this little sugya. And that is, I don't know if we have an answer, I don't know if we have to have an answer, but just when we finish a sugya and you had a big machlokas, rishonim, one way or the other, you sort of wonder, what are they really arguing about? The Meiri, the Ran, the Urim, all held that in order to be makabupatish, it has to be a finished product, and then you do something. Rashi held, even if the finishing up of the product is itself enough to be makabupatish. I want to know, what are they arguing about? Do they have a different view of Makkah B'Patish? Do they see the Malacha from a totally different vantage point?
No.
Is it just a small point? They just disagree on one of the halachas of how exactly to get...
Disagree on when it happens.
They disagree on when it happens, but do they understand what Makkah B'Patish is differently? A little bit, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
According to the Rad and the Meiri and the Yirei, Makkah B'Patish is something very, you know...
Small.
It's you have something, and you after you have it already, you...
Right. No, it's definitely
put a bang, you know, that extra touch. Rashi says that it's the making of the kli, the finishing of making something, making it. That sounds a little more hefty. Like I just made a kli. I just turned something into something.
Rashi does make it sound more of a serious or a meaningful act.
Yes, according to Rashi, you're doing something more significant. You're actually making the kli. According to the Ran, Meiri, the kli was already made, you're just putting a cherry on top.
Yeah.
You're taking the same case of the Mishkan and just analyzing it different.
No, they're not. Rashi's not analyzing the same case as the Tosfot did.
What, with
Makkah B'Patish?
Huh?
Rashi wasn't talking about what happened in the Mishkan.
Rashi wouldn't call what Tosfot said was Makkah B'Patish.
I think he would.
I think he would call that Makkah B'Patish, and
it was a kli already.
Wait. The Meiri doesn't hold from Rashi. Could Rashi hold from Meiri? According to Rashi, if you have a metal bowl that you just made, and it's a little bit bent out of, has a little dent, and you bang it to make it fit, would that be Makkah B'Patish, according to Rashi?
I think it would.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a two-way street. I don't think Rashi argues on the Meiri argues on Rashi.
Right.
It's a one-way street.
Only the
Rashi says anything that's the finishing last thing you do is
Makkah B'Patish.
Whether it's making the kli
or
after you make the kli to whatever the finishing touch is.
Whether it's a kli or not.
And the Meiri says it's only a certain type of finishing touch that we're going to consider Makkah B'Patish. If the kli is already made and then the finishing touch that comes afterwards, that's called Makkah B'Patish. Rashi holds all the finishing, all the last steps, whether it's step 99, or step 101, whatever the last step is, that's Makkah B'Patish.
Doesn't matter.
But even if you do have a kli, it will still be Makkah B'Patish. Okay, Yeshikar, gentlemen, we finished that little sugya.
Meiri, Ran, Tosfot, also the same thing.
Correct. What we're going to do tomorrow is one small point of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which I gave you on the Ma'amar Kamos, which is a small point. He's going to say that there's a certain limitation to Makkah B'Patish. After that, we're going to talk about something very cool. We're going to talk about, now,
bottle
starting tomorrow, we're going to get into Halacha L'Maisa. And Halacha L'Maisa is going to be, we're not going to talk about bottle openings first. First, we're going to talk about, you'll see from the Ma'amar Makamos. It's going to be Halacha tomorrow. Tomorrow's Ma'amar Makamos is going to be, well, finishing the Ma'amar Makamos you have. Did anyone finish all the Ma'amar Makamos that I gave? Talking about shoes?
Yeah, I got that part.
You got that part?
Like the sundown and all.
Yeah, yes. Did anyone finish all of those?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so that will be for tomorrow.
Let's talk about like the strap of the shoe falls off.
What?